is entitled The Enigmatic Balaam. The Enigmatic Balaam. The overall arching theme is that we're still in the book of Zephaniah, coming from Zephaniah. And I tell you, that book was about the day of judgment. A time of judgment had came upon the people. And let us not be weary, but that we will continue to do well in doing well and doing good things and in walking in our purpose in the Lord, for we are in that day and time. The scripture context, though, comes from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelations, second chapter of Revelations, the 12th through the 17th verse. Now, we know that the doctrine of Christ is what we hold, and that Christ had taught that his doctrine wasn't his, it wasn't his own, but it was his whom had sent him. We will look at Revelation here, and we'll see whereby it says, "And to the angel of the church at Pergamos write, these things said he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thine works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful mar, who was slain among you, and where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication, so that thou also have them there that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that had an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Seems like this teaching is about doctrine, the doctrine that we're listening to. That's what he's so upset about. These are people in the church. These are believers he's writing to. Now, doctrine is instruction. You raise your children, and that which you gave them was instruction. That's doctrine. Doctrine is a group of body of instructions as the word of God. And that's what Jesus Christ came with, the word of God. And that was the body of instructions. For our opening scripture this morning, Deacon Hubbard read the beginning of Proverbs chapter 9. It read, "Wisdom had built her house, and she had hewn out her seven pillars. She had killed her beasts, she had mingled her wine, she had also furnished her table. She had sent forth her maidens, she had cried upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanted understanding, she said to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding." If any of y'all realize, are still doing what I asked the church to do, and that is to read Proverbs. Read completely through the book of Proverbs each year, if you can, in a month that has 31 days, and each time you read a chapter in that book, you'll clear the book of Proverbs. But not only reading that book, you should study, you know, and that's what this church is all about, because God says, study to show yourselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We see where this wisdom that's talking here, that's the wisdom of the world. It's sort of like the wisdom that Solomon had. See, Solomon had a lot of worldly wisdom. There's a wisdom that is devilish, that is senseless, sensual. It is earthy. It's human philosophy also. It is common sense and things that we, there's a lot of people wise. And Paul talked about the wisdom of the world and those that be wise in this world. And we have a lot of those people. We see those people on television, and that's some of the biggest things that have made people wealthier than anything is the talk shows. Those daytime talk shows, and they become the idols in our lives and the ones who instruct us. But we have to be careful of those who instruct in us. And that's what Christ is saying this morning about the doctrine that we listen to. I titled this message, The Enigmatic Baal. He's really enigmatic. He's an enigma to me. I don't know how much have y'all studied Baal from the Old Testament and studied him, because there's a problem with Baal. And I know you hadn't went so far as going through a lot of the commentaries and the history of Baal and his family and everything. But Baal talked with God now. God talked with Baal. Everybody in that region knew Baal was a prophet. Balaam. Everybody knew that Balaam was a prophet in that region, and that he could curse people. He could bless people. Now, they seemed to look at his whole family, a family of enchanters, or sorcerers, or soothsayers. And, you know, I kind of have a problem now, because we have to look at our family line. What's went wrong in our family line? And I think something went wrong with my father at one time. He was once a good man or whatever, but in latter in life or whatever, he became a bit of a prognostic soothsayer or whatever. He kind of veered off the highway. A lot of us in the church have veered off the highway in faith. Faith is intangible. In other words, it's the evidence of things unseen. But we have to be careful of our instruction or who's instructing us, because we synthesize, have a way of syncretically blending all that we know together and say this is of God. We blend the wisdom of the world and all these things, and it's not the wisdom of God. And that's the thing about Balaam. Balaam, and the word enigma, we know what enigma means. It's an obscure speech or writing. Something hard to understand or explain. Inscrutable or mysterious person. And that's who Balaam was. Because Balaam, when the people came for Balaam, and I'm not going to talk about Balaam himself too much this morning, I'll explain the story of Balaam that's given to you in Numbers 22, 23, and Joshua, and throughout the Bible, because he's mentioned more than anyone else almost in the Bible, any other of the prophets, any other people. He's mentioned a lot of times more than any other false prophets or the enemies of God or whatever. It's this Balaam. That's why I say he's kind of an enigma now, because God talked with Balaam. When the people came to get Balaam, and Balaam, he was a money man. He kind of reminded me of Demas. And Balaam would go in, and I don't know if he was trying to drive up his price or whatever, but he would tell the people he's not going with them. And when let me go further in this about it, because like I say, I don't know how many of you took trouble by Balaam. It's like right now, that's the point this nation is in. We're in a troubled state. Here's a article quoted from November 19th. It comes from James Kitfield of the Atlantic, which is a very conservative paper in Georgia. And it says, the knowns and unknowns of Donald Trump's foreign policy. And the quote is, it says, the deal maker soon to be at the center of what great game remains an enigma, and the world is anxiously awaiting his opening gambit. So we see that Trump himself is an enigma. Are you an enigma? I want to ask that question during my introduction and throughout this teaching of preaching. Kind of keep that in mind now. A person who is described as an enigma is a bit of a mystery. You never know what that person is really thinking, or what his or her motives for doing something are, why they are doing something. You know, it's hard to figure some people out, what's on their mind, just what's going on with them. How are they dealing? An enigma is not easily understood, especially because he or she has a confusion, mixtures of quality that seem to be in opposition to one another. For example, the attention-seeking but reclusive musician, a brilliant lawyer who gets lost on the drive home from the grocery store. The word enigma originally referred not to people but to words, and specifically to words that form the riddle of complicated metaphor that test the listener's or reader's alertness and cleverness. This meaning is clearly connected to the word's history. Enigma comes from a Greek word that means to speak in riddles. You know, Jesus at one time started speaking in parables unto the people, and Peter came to him and said, "Lord, why are you speaking parables to these people?" Peter didn't understand it, and he spoke parables to them. He spoke the parable of the sower to them, and he came back and explained it to his disciples. The word enigma didn't just jump from referring to riddles to referring to people. In between those usages, it was and still is applied to things that puzzle people. Egypt's meticulously constructed pyramids of Giza, a theory of quantum physics, for example, might be described as enigmas. In these uses, the meaning is simply a figurative extension of the original word riddle sense. Okay? So that's what I tell you about Balaam. We don't know about Balaam, but we know he was a false prophet, but we know that he's spoken ill of. He's continually spoken ill of. Associations. We have to watch who we associated with. That's why I say of all the different religions, of all the different denominations, and all your spouses, relatives, and friends, there are a great deal of them, and I would suggest 80 to 90% of them, all Christians in this nation are saying they're Christians, they follow Jesus Christ. But here's where the enigma is. Do they contain false doctrine? Is it the same God? Is your spouse? That's why Jesus said he come to bring a sword. In other words, to divide households, relatives, friends, and people, that's what the sword does. That's what Jesus Christ came to do, to set you at variance with one another, because those of true faith go watch their associations. We are to associate with people. We are to have marriages. We are to marry. We are to live here in this world. He didn't call us out of the world in a sense of geographically, but spiritually, and he called us unto himself. So we are not to become monks and stay hid away, but we are lights set up on a hill, a light that cannot be or should not be hid, salt that had not lost its savor. But as I say within this first point of association, we have to be careful who we associate with. Balaam here were being tried to be hired by Balak, and he knew this was wrong, but the enticement of money caused him to go along with these people. He followed some instructions God had told him not to follow. And that's one thing we can tell is about God tells us who to associate with and who not to associate with. In the book of Psalms, in the first Psalm, he says, blessed is he who sitteth not in the seat of the scorner, who sitteth not in the counsel of the wicked. We have to be careful of the people of what they're saying and what's going on, because we never know what's jammed in the thoughts of someone else's mind, what their intents or motives are. But we know we're to bring every thought into captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. So, as I say, we have to intermingle or exist with people. There are denominations of people who say that Christians, we're to receive a brother without doubtful disputations. But we are to, as being spiritual, we are to judge all things because we have to walk circumspectively. And John and his disciples at that time, they were aware of this. And I told you about Gnosticism. The Gnostics that with their knowledge, but how they said that about Jesus Christ, that he wasn't actually a fleshly individual, that he was just spirit. And their teachings and their knowledge. And listen to what John says. 1 John, the 4th chapter. He says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit." And you've been there. A lot of people say the Spirit of the Lord told me and what the Spirit told him. You see a lot of preachers or television, televangelists on the television say, "Well, the Lord told me, the Spirit of the Lord told me to tell you this," or whatever. Be careful of that. How do you confirm that? How do you know they're actually speaking by the Spirit of the Lord? It could be a way that they believe what they're saying, but it could be that they have been seduced or they have been drawn away themselves. He says, "You must test them to see if the spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world." So he's warning you. I don't care what religion he is or whatever. It says, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. And I tell you, the proof was in the pudding. But you can't tell it if you don't know how pudding's supposed to taste. You can't tell if this person is a person of God if you don't know what the Word of God says. If you don't have the Spirit of God, how do you know that this person is speaking the words of God? You see, that we're not living in a time of ignorance. The Apostle Paul said that God says, at the times of our ignorance, God winked. But now is the time we should know. We don't have time for people going around here and say, "Well, I don't know much, but I want to tell you about Jesus." Well, I don't really want to hear from you. If you don't know nothing, if you don't know much, or you don't know but a little. We want to hear what thus saith the Lord. We want the Spirit to teach it us. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Peter said. So we have to be obedient to the Word of God. Goes on to say seducing spirits. Remember I say there's many a seducing spirits. What a seducing spirit does is it calls you to allow to let down your God. Balaam came in and he couldn't curse the children of Israel. He was wise. Now he knew what God's word had said. He knew what God's word had said, and God had told him. He had spoke. Like I said, this is enigma because he spoke with God. And God said, "You can't curse him whom I've blessed. Now, Balaam told Balak this. Balaam says, "Look, I'm going with you or whatever, but I can't speak no more than what the Lord gave me to speak." Now that's wisdom. That's what a prophet knows. This spirit that we were talking about in the book of Proverbs, we can tell right here that some of this, he's not talking about the Spirit of the Lord or the wisdom from God, the 9th chapter of Proverbs, because where it says she has killed her beast and mingled her wine. God's wine is not mingled. God's spirit is holy. God's spirit doesn't mix with any other spirit. That's the wine of fornication. If you would look at the harlot of Babylon, if you would look in Jeremiah, it's mingled. Wine is symbolic of the spirit. Wine is symbolic of what God is. God is purity. You can't mingle God. He's a jealous God. He's not going to combine with anything else. But this spirit was mingled and it whispered to the simple. If you're simple-minded, you're not going to err into the church of God. No fool or ignorant person could err therein. There's a discerning, there's a purging process to those that come before God. He's going to purge you and wash you and that you can walk boldly to the throne of grace. But that word sanctifies you and sets you apart. You're not going to be simple and ignorant. You're not going to be unaware. It says her maidens cried upon the high plains of the city. You know, and that's what I think Balaam did. Balaam was one crying like they do today in prayer and speaking and doctrine and teaching to break down the children's defenses. He said, I tell you what, I can't curse them. See, you have to go ahead on and read further where Balaam gave instructions to Balak. And it's wrapped up in there. I may get to it today. I may not. It's according to how I can parse through you. But he had told them, since he couldn't curse the children of Israel, why don't you cause them to fall upon themselves? In other words, get those good-looking women, those Midianites, those Moabite women, invite them to your churches. And tell the wives to invite them to their churches, to their religion, to their feasting thing. And then when they go in, they'll see that they're good-looking women and that it's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. And that's what I told you, you have to be careful. There's nothing wrong with that, but are you strong enough to do that? That sometime that is permitted is that destroys you. You understand that? And that's what he did. The people intermingled with the Moabites, and God had told them not to be unequally yoked. And they slept with the Moabites. They had broke down the defenses. Now, let's not just use this as sexual morality, because we see where he said that doctrine taught his people to commit fornication and idolatry. In other words, in a spiritual sense, they did those things which they wasn't supposed to do. So that was metaphorically, but it wasn't just physical sex. We get that too. But look at the fifth verse of Proverbs, that ninth chapter says, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine, I have mingled. And like I said, it's nothing wrong, and you have to eat or whatever, but sometimes we need to eat of our own bread. We need to float our own boat. And we see in the latter days where a lot of people will come to Jesus and say, well, didn't we feed the needy? Didn't we help those in the need? And all these churches that go around feeding people and everything, that's a good gesture or whatever, but what's the intent of the heart? See, a lot of these things are done with a different motive in mind, a different intent in mind. So Jesus told Peter, when he says the people are looking for you, they're hungry for your word, hungry. He said, no, they're not. They're coming. The only reason they want me is because I fed them. You get somebody something to eat, they're going to be knocking on your door all the time. They always want to come get food. And these churches that's doing that, people are constantly, they're going to be lines out the door. If you look at Easter time and Christmas time, the River Center, all these places that feed people are full. There's constantly people that's feeding, because the people, that human nature, that's the wisdom of the world. They know human nature loves something that's free. That's something that's given away. So that's why I said that wisdom there, the world uses that wisdom to invite you in. It appeals to the flesh. Mark 13 and 22 says, for false Christs and false prophets shall arise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, the very elect. Now, why is it if it were possible? It's not possible because the elect are the ones that are obedient to God's word. They're not going to violate God's word. Remember I told you, sometimes God can permit something, allow something, but he's testing or trying you whether you would take heed to his word. Now he told Balaam told the people, say, look, I can't go with you. He says, because God had told me not to, but he said, stay tonight and I'll see what God says. Don't invite sin into your house. Don't invite sin into your house. Watch your association. That's the problem with Eve. She got in a conversation with Satan. And you might not be smart enough to get in that conversation with Satan, because you might not be out to bruise his head. See, sometimes those that don't want to kill the wolves have to stay back, because that's not what they designed for. That's why Paul said after he leaves, grievous wolves go in. But they wasn't going to enter while Paul was there. There wasn't going to be while Paul was there. But Balaam said that night, God came to speak to him and says, well, look, you can go. He asked him again, and God told him, said, well, you can go. If they come back, you can go. Now, I don't want to get into the fact of whether the people actually came back or not, but the Bible does say Balaam saddled his donkey, and we're not going to use the word that they use biblically in the King James for the word donkey. But you can saddle, he saddled up his donkey and went with the people. But it doesn't say they came back. Okay? So that was in direct disobedience of God, because we see later on in Numbers, it says God's anger was kindled against Balaam. He was going on that donkey, and that's why the angel appeared in front of the mule. In front of the donkey, I mean. And because he went. Sometimes God allows us to do things. God allowed Adam to eat of the tree he had told him not to. He didn't appear again and say, didn't I tell you not to eat of that tree? He allowed Adam to be tested. Didn't he say, test the spirits and try the spirits whether they be of God? See, the Bible, that's why it says, blessed is he that overcome. He wants you to overcome good with good. He wants you to overcome evil with good. By obedience to his word. That's how Jesus Christ overcame, by obeying the word of God. So Balaam went with these people. God's people are obedient to his word. If you obey God's word and walk in God's word, all you'll do is get stronger and stronger. Let me apply this part of my conclusion to this while I'm here, so I won't have to come back and wrap it up in there. One part of my conclusion is, and to apply that to what we're saying, is that in the end times, the book of Daniel states, here's where the fight's going on. The 32nd verse of the 11th chapter of Daniel states, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flatteries. Who is he? It's the one that shall come, the lying spirit. You remember I told you about the enigma. I told you our leader today, the United States, is in the midst of a leader that's an enigma. There's a lying, adulterous spirit or system in this nation now. I got a paper study, a handout for y'all. It's called Balaamism. Balaamism. Balaamism is a system, an ism. Anything with an ism in it, that's a system of worship. In other words, it's a system of an antichrist. A lot of these, I'm not going to call them idiot preachers. Ignorant? If you use the word stupid, you're trying to, I think you're referring to those that refuse to learn. And that's what Balaam was. He was one that refused to learn. He knew of God, knew the things what God wanted, but he refused to take heed to it. You hear a lot of the priests saying, oh, is this the main antichrist? Notice that I said there'd be many antichrists and false prophets. There's no one man that's antichrist. Antichrist is a system, and Baalism is a part of that system. So that's the spirit that's prevailing in the world. That's why we're saying try the spirit, because that spirit can get into any individual. That spirit moves around. That spirit came under Peter. When he says, no, Lord, it doesn't be that way. That spirit caused Peter to deny Christ. So we're not talking about individuals here. We're talking about system. That's what Balaamism is. So we have to be aware of these systems. But in the book of Daniel, it says, they shall corrupt with flatteries. In other words, God's going to send such a strong delusion that you have people right here, whether your relatives or people in your community, but it's throughout this nation, that believe lies. And they tell you, we know it's a lie, but we would rather believe the lie. We know these people are liars. We know our leaders are liars. This whole nation, state, city, our police departments, government, it has become a beast world system. It's a lie. It's nothing but a lie. It says, listen at the latter part of that verse, though. It says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Those of us that are strong in God, those that are strong in their God, they're going to be the ones doing this fighting. That's why I say, we're not talking about people who want to sit around and sleep and eat and watch TV all day and don't get in the middle of the fight. There's a fight going on. You can join yourself to the fight. Listen what he says. He that had an ear, 17 verse. He that had an ear, he's talking about those with a spiritual ear, that God's talking to the people that know their God, that are studying and being led by the Spirit of God. He says, the Spirit said unto the churches, to him that overcome, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. You can't eat of both tables. You can't eat of the table of demons and eat of the table of the Lord. So those that taking pleasure in sensual devices, in the things of this world, you're not emptying yourself of the world. You're not denying yourself of the world. So Christ doesn't abide in that temple. He doesn't strengthen you. But those that are denying themselves, denying the table of Christ, of demons, denying of the devil, Christ says, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. I'll give up to eat of, in other words, the word of God, which is hid today. That's the mystery. The word of God is hid. It's going to be a famine in the land, a famine of hearing the word of God. God's going to give his word to his people that's not going to trample on it, that's not going to cast it underfoot, that's going to take heed unto the word and be doers of that word. Those are the ones that's going to wax strong in this latter day. That's where the fight's coming, because the whole creature, creation and all, are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's why you should be letting your light so shine that men would see your light and give God the glory. That's why we are here. Don't be ignomatic as Balaam is, and people don't know what side you're on, whether you for God or not. Let it be clear. Send a clear sign to the world. Send a clear sign of whose side you're on. Joshua said, choose this day the side that you're on. Choose him now. There'll be many of false prophets and antichrists in the world. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter 13 through the 15th verse. He says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Whose end shall be according to their works. I don't want to bring this last part here in right now. Whose end shall be according to their works. His ministers are transformed into ministers of righteousness. But it's unrighteousness. They're in man because they are not of Christ. They're counterfeit Christ. You heard when we was writing to the church in Ephesus, he said, you tried those that say they are apostles and are not, and found them to be a liar. There are a lot of people out there you found out they're nothing but liars. They're not what they say they are. Walk away from it. You walk away from those that are not right. Or you stand against them. Don't get consumed with them. When eating and communing with others, we need to be circumspective of what we hear. We need to be circumspective of the things we hear. Because that's one of the dead giveaways. What comes out of a man's mouth a lot of time gives him away. Matthew 16th chapter, 1st through the 12th verse. Matthew the 16th chapter, the 1st through the 12th verse. The yeast of the Pharisees. Later, after they crossed over to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said, the 5th verse, watch out, Jesus warned them. Beware the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, your preachers and teachers. Now, earlier, you remember Jesus says, do all what the Pharisees tell you to do. Now he had told them that. In other words, they have the law. Do what the preachers and things tell you to do, but beware of the leaven of them. How can you beware of the leaven of a preacher if he's your spiritual leader? By the word of God. You have to study the word of God yourself. Don't do as people in the Catholic Church do or whatever, depend upon the father or the priest to absorb you of your sins and pray for you and go to God for you. Jesus had made it so you're responsible for going to the throne of grace yourself. You to petition God for yourself. Don't leave it to nobody else to pray to God for you. You pray for yourself. And I don't know how many of these people I see, oh, brother, pray for me. And that kind of leads to a conversation. Are you really praying for yourself and about your life? That's a great conversation starter. Because we ought to pray for one another. But are you in such a condition that you're not scared to go before God and pray for yourself? Or are you doing something that you're scared to approach God on? Maybe if we can get that out of your life, you can help me by praying for yourself. See, it's not good just to keep giving people free stuff. Teach people to work. Huh? They said, if you teach a man a fish, you done taught him better than just giving him fish. Stop teaching people to fish. I mean, stop giving people fish and teach them to fish. You enable a person to do for themselves. See, that's why when Jesus was getting ready to heal the people, he said, well, look, do you really want to be healed? See, because if he was to heal you, you wouldn't have no reason for laying down watching television all day. You ain't got no reason for going around here begging and standing on the corner with your head out. You are an able-bodied person to work now. You see, that's why we get mad when they be talking about these entitlement programs. And Rand Paul was speaking about that last year during the election, about how long does extend the workers' compensation benefits. He said, because if you extend them too long and a person's off work 2 or 3 years and you still get them benefits, they will get comfortable with sitting down and they will fight against you to keep those benefits. And they ain't going to want to work then. They're going to be and got used to not working. You get a person comfortable with something, you will play hell trying to get that away from him. You sure ain't going to be able to. He think he is entitled to it then. And it was all to help that person. See, Balaam thought he was entitled to go speak and get. He was greedy for gain. Now, there's three things about Balaam. In the book of Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, Peter's talking about the error of Balaam, I think it is. I was studying those. And in the book of Jude speaks of the way of Balaam. And in Revelation, we're talking about the doctrine of Balaam. I told you, Balaam was a system. There's an era of Balaam. There's a way of Balaam. And this is the doctrine of Balaam. Now, what happens is, Jesus warned him of the Pharisees. Go to church. You're supposed to go to church and listen at the preachers. But be careful, because everything some preachers saying ain't right. Even though they look like a worldwide evangelist, they preaching out of the word of God and everything, beware. That's why I told you this guy Balaam is an enigma. Because there's a lot of preachers that's preaching and teaching, and you hear, this guy fell from grace, because he was a charlatan all the time. He was just good enough to fool you. He hadn't, the elect wasn't fooled. You can deceive them a piece, but there's some things going to give you away. You keep watching long enough, something's going to give that individual away. Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? When I say beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, of the bread of the Pharisees, so again, beware of the yeast. He was talking about their preaching, their teaching, and that's what I say. You go into your wife's church or your husband's church or your children's church or your parents' church or whatever. You remember I told you that was a problem with me and my mother when I got in this other church? Is that, see, they had two different doctrines. I come to find out she was right on that portion of the doctrine she was talking about. There's some other portion that may see There is compromise in a way with a Christian is that you're willing to hear, but you're willing to stand for God. See, you can't just close yourself off, but you need to be able to be discerning and ask God for his leading guidance. So you don't know everything. And that's why I'm telling you about this man, Balaam. So he says, listen, because the Pharisees was a stickler of the law. The Pharisees was a stickler, but they didn't have the Spirit of God. These are the ones that have mixed other doctrines along with that of Christ, producing compromises not according to the word of God, but are self-seeking, righteous, self-righteous, and self-serving. That's our government today. That's what this nation has become. That's why I say it's a system of Balaamism. This is backwards. That's backwards. It's a self-serving government. A self-serving people. Those antichrists would arise. This governmental system has to fall. And when I say this governmental system, what system am I talking about? The worldwide system. Russia system, Japan system, China system. All systems has to fall. There's no government of man that will stand. The only government that's going to stand is going to be the government of God. The 10 toes of the beast was miring. The nations are not going to stick together. There's going to be a divisive end in this end. Christ is the one that's going to smote the image of the beast. What I was talking about in Daniel, when Daniel had seen and had interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar the image of the beast of gold, that big beast, that was a symbol of the King of Kings. In other words, a world-ruling system. And God's people are going to fight against that system and they're going to become victorious. Balaam is part of that system. The world is part of that system. And Galatians, the first chapter of Galatians, starting at the 6th verse, Paul had preached the gospel there, but others came in also with other doctrine, with other preaching. This is where one of the ones who had preached another Jesus. That's what's happening in this nation. This is another Jesus, and that's why the bill, one of the bills that he signed the other day for religious freedom and the thing about religion opened the door. Like I told you, when you see religion and government uniting together, you have a beast world system. You have a system that's not of God. That's one of those things. And George Bush had did it during this, one of his administrative things that he did, the faith-based initiative. All those things are beast systems. That's Baalism that was introduced the other day, him signing that document. The church cannot be in alliance with anything in the world. Jesus Christ wouldn't even talk to Herod. He called Herod a fox. Because we cannot unite with the things of the world or the people of the world. I am astonished and extremely irritated that you are so quickly shifting your allegiance and deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different or even a contrary gospel. Which is really not another gospel, but there are obviously some people masquerading as teachers who are disturbing and confusing you with a misleading counterfeit teaching and want to distort the gospel of Christ, twisting it into something which it is absolutely not. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which you originally preached to you, let them be condemned to destruction. There it goes again. Let them be condemned to destruction. And you notice in Revelation where he says he's going to come and fight against them. So he's going to fight against that system and the people that went along with that. Just as in Romans, those who like those things are partakers of the things. He's going to get all of those. As we have said before, so I say now again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel different from that which you received from us, let them be condemned to destruction. Now, I consistently, I think this will be the last one I warn you about. It's in 1 John, the 18th verse. And he says, the 1 John, 2nd chapter, do not love this world, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. Does that sound like something you've heard during this election cycle? Does that sound like something that the preachers are preaching you today? Prosperity and blessings, everything physical? These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away, along with everything in that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Dear children, this is the last hour. This is the time and day of judgment. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. For this we know, this, that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they have never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. There are a lot of people that have left the churches. This church used to be packed full. The most dangerous thing there is a person that know you. That's what's dangerous about homosexual and lesbianism, is you have a man that know how a man is, a woman that know how a woman is. See, the enigma is removed, because the hardest thing for a man or a woman to figure out is each other. You'll be forever trying to figure your wife out. Your wife is consistently trying to figure you out. But a man know how a man thinks, and a woman know how a woman thinks. The hardest thing that has fought against the Pentecostal churches are former Pentecostals. The hardest thing that Baptists or Islamic people or anybody of a religion is a person that know all of your secrets. Anyone that you take in the inner circles. That's why Judas was so dangerous. That's why he had to die. That's why Christ said, "Woe be unto him," because he was one that Christ had blessed to go out and preach and teach, cast out devils and everything. But yet and still he turned on Christ. It's like the dog that returned to the vomit. He says, "Don't give that which is holy unto the dogs." We have to be careful of people that are in the church. That's why I tell you, any former members here, I'm not telling you not to see those people or whatever, and I've seen some of them. But you be careful, because there was a reason that they left. And Paul says these people were, John says these people were not of us, the reason they left. That shows you that they didn't belong with us. Demas left Paul, but Demas didn't leave the church. When people divide and split up the churches and everything, there are underlying motives and reasons for that. See, that's why it's good if your children would leave home on a blessed basis. But if they left home cursing you, upset with the way you run your home or something else, that's not a good way to depart. There's underlying reasons that they couldn't be subject to authority. When he says a man should leave his mother and father and go with his wife, that means to establish his own home, his own place of abode with his wife and thing, but under that same doctrine of teaching, because his parents should have taught him the doctrine of Christ. That's why he says, "I had chosen Abraham because I know he was going to teach his children to do right." And the last ones your children, the one instructions from is you when something goes wrong in their life, because they know you're going to tell them right. You're going to tell them the truth, and they'll listen to everybody else, and they won't ask you because they know what you're going to say. You're going to tell them, listen to what the Bible says. And they don't want to hear what God has to say because they want it their way. That's the reason they rebel and left you, because you was trying to keep them straight and they didn't want to hear what you said. When a woman leaves her husband or something, that's because she don't want to submit herself to the authority of her husband. When a man leave home or whatever, that's because he don't want to submit himself to authority of Jesus Christ, because Christ is saying, love your wife. I don't give you any reason to leave your wife, to divorce your wife. Now, if she was committing adultery or whatever, but Paul came along and said, if you want to dwell with her and later on and she straighten up, you can take her back. He says he hate divorce. He permitted divorce, he says, because of the hardness of your heart, just like he permitted Balaam to go. But he don't want you with a hard heart. He don't want divorce. So God does permit things and allow things to happen. But you watch people, watch their doctrine and watch their teachings. But you are not like that one. For the Holy One has given you a spirit and all of you know the truth. So I'm writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone that denies Jesus Christ. That's why Islam and the Muslims would have to fall in that category, because they're denying Jesus Christ. I'm not saying, see, the sharp edge of the sword, that dividing edge of the sword is they keep the law or whatever, but how about this over here with the side of grace? That's the discerning sign that you, yes, through the faith we help establish the law. Your faith has to be in Jesus Christ, in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who had put you in proper standing with God. So those prophets that's teaching of the law and the things of the law, what you're really doing is compelling them to be under something that does not offer redemption. There's no redeeming from that. The redemption is in Christ Jesus. There were pretenders in those days as it is. Now read Ezekiel, the 13th chapter. The whole chapter would be good. It says, this message came from me. This message came from me, from the Lord. Son of man, prophesy against the false prophets of Israel who are inventing their own prophecies. Say to them, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. What sorrow awaits the false prophets who are following their own imaginations and have seen nothing. That's what Balaam was. He was following his own imagination. He was following him own self in what he thought, in what he wanted to follow. Now what we have to do as we keep on in this vein, the judgment of God. I told you he said he would fight against them. Who is the them? Listen at the 16th verse. Therefore repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your sinful behavior. Seek God's will, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war and fight against them with the sword of my mouth and judgment. It is to those who are telling you these things, and it's to those that have followed these things. 23,000 people died in the camp who was given in to seduction by the Moabite women. Moses had commanded them, listen at what Numbers says, here's the judgment of God on those wicked doers, on the Balaams of the world. Numbers, the 31st chapter. They attacked Midian as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they killed all the men, all the five Midianite kings. They also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword. Balaam had asked, said, Lord, let me die. And when he was talking to Balak, he says, let me die the death of the righteous. Everybody wants to die in the church. They want to die a peaceful death or whatever. But was he living the life of the righteous? See, you have to live like and live for God to die for God. He wanted to, in his prophecies, and I told you, just go back home and read Numbers and see, those are some of the greatest prophecies ever uttered about the Messiahship and about Israel. And Balaam, but if Balaam was a true prophet, and here the compromise was with Balaam, that he would have told Balaam, Balaam, I know God, you don't have anything to worry about, because God had told Israel that they couldn't have your land. That's why they on the other side. That's why we can see them and what they're doing. It's because God had already told them that they're kin to you, that he's not going to give them an inch of your land. You don't have anything to worry about. See, that's the thing about Republicans and Democrats and the people in this world. What are you scrapping about? You can't get what's not yours. If you would start treating everybody the way God says treat people, then you would get what's coming to you. But you can't get what belongs to somebody else. You're running after covetousness and greed. That's the error. That's the way of Balaam. He ran after covetousness and greed, and he used his doctrine, his thoughts, the inception in his mind had been planted in his mind, his moving inception.
Is that your thoughts you're thinking? Or did somebody plant that idea in your mind? Is you supposed to have no thoughts in your mind? Your thoughts are not like God's thoughts. We're supposed to have a new mind. God's supposed to plant his mind in you. He says, let that same mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. The transforming and renewing your mind. Where did that thought come from? The thoughts I have come from here. That's where they come from. If they're not coming from the word of God, it's foreign doctrine. It's mingled with the things of this world. That's what the problem is. So he not only killed those men. Listen at this. Then the Israelite army captured the Midianite women and children and seized their cattle and flocks and all their wealth. They burned their towns and burned up everything. But what happened? Here come Moses here. Moses said, hey, what's going on here? Why did you let the women live? Kill the women. Kill all these women. We going to ease it on in this nation on the women. The worst thing in this nation is the women. Because they have allowed themselves to become a sex object to the men. Lasciviousness. The way the women dress. You're luring men away from their homes. When you go get tattoos and parts put all over your body and dress scantily and all these sexy shows and every advertisement, everything has to be with some naked woman or something, you're changing what you were designed for. You're luring men away. You're luring these men away. They lured the children of Israel to commit adultery. You didn't lure this guy away from his wife. You not only destroyed his home, you destroyed his children, his life, and everything else. That's not of God. But we want to save the women, folks. That's how the churches are growing today. Go in any church, and if you got a church full of women, you can grow a church. There's one minister that looses the women. Woman, thou loose. The problem is you loosen what God had bound. The woman was bound to the husband. The woman should have shamefacedness and sobriety and be in submission unto her husband. The problem with this nation is that the women are loosed. The women are loosed, and you're bound to this up next week. And I was getting close to a conclusion, but I kind of devil way off. So I'll have to add some more to this next week in closing. But the problem is, Moses seen the problem and he said, well, no, we got to kill these women now. You can't just take it easy on these women. If she hadn't did these things, it wouldn't have been like, that's what you think lasciviousness is. Do you see what some of the women wear to church today? Do you see what some of the men wear? They look like peacocks. Men used to wouldn't wear some of this stuff. You see, men would today. But like I said, we're going to have to finish this next time. Because in effeminate men, in other words, dressing in these ways, with all these earrings and jewelry and bedazzlement, it's to enchant or attract women. The opposite sex, and what you're doing, you're taking away from the meaning of sex. Sex become just casual. It's no meaning attached to sex. And what happened, God had consecrated sex to only be within marriage. It's only between individuals. Sex should have a whole lot of meaning to it. But now we've gotten it to where most people that are marrying today didn't had I don't know how many partners before their marriage. Baalism.